Welcome to Cross-Examination. In this part, we will ask the most popular and hardest questions that are asked by atheists. You only have 60 seconds for each question. If there is something like Allah sealing the hearts, what's the fault of the atheist? Why will he go to hell?
What was Allah doing before he created us?
Well, where is Allah? Why are camels and dates always mentioned in the Quran, but penguins or fruits like avocados not mentioned at all? Was the Quran sent down only to the Arabian Peninsula? If Allah has infinite power, why does he need angels? If there is something like Allah sealing the hearts, then what's the fault of the atheists? Why will they go to hell?
If the heart was given to a man in a sealed form, then this could be a valid point. However, the person does not want to believe at all. Therefore, we're talking about the end result of it, as a person consistently denies there's no longer any tendency towards belief in his heart. The following is mentioned in a meaning of hadith. If a person commits a sin constantly, his heart turns pitch black. When a person commits many sins and disobeys Allah a lot, there's no longer any tendency to believe in one's heart. That is when the person says, "I don't want to believe." You know, the saying of an atheist, "Even if I see Allah, I will not believe." At this point, the issue of sealing of the heart is actually the name given to the situation here. So therefore, hearts aren't just randomly sealed like some people may say. Allah seals someone's heart randomly and there's nothing he can do about it. He is helpless and denies. There's nothing like that. If the heart of every sinner was sealed, no one would be a Muslim. However, we see that many people, many atheists, revert to Islam and repent. Therefore, we humans don't know whose heart is or isn't sealed. But because of the fact that Allah is not bound by time and has knowledge of how a person will die, naturally, Allah knows whose heart is sealed and whose isn't, but we don't. What was Allah doing before he created us? Since we can't perceive the concept of timelessness here, the question is invalid. Why? Because when we say, "What was Allah doing before he created us?" we actually think as if Allah is bound by a time period. However, Allah is not dependent upon time. Rather, it is Allah who created time. If there is no time, concepts such as before and after will not be valid for Allah. It's not easy for us humans to comprehend. Why? Because we're bound to a period of time. We don't know much about what timelessness is like. It actually resembles the situation of someone who does not know that there are living beings in the sea and will therefore never perceive the possibility of someone living there, or someone who has never seen color in his life. To describe color to such a person would be impossible. Similarly, since we live in a time period, we do not understand the concept of timelessness very well, but we can understand it like this. If I asked, "Is Allah affected by the sun?" you would say, "What does that have to do with it? How can he be affected by the sun? After all, Allah created the sun. He would not be affected by it," we would say. Similarly, Allah created time just as he created the sun. Allah is not affected by the sun. He's not affected by time either. Naturally, there are no concepts of before and after for Allah. Therefore, we should say Allah is always present with his names and attributes. He is pre-eternal and post-eternal.
Where is Allah then?
Look, the question, "Where is someone?" is also a concept related to us. That is, we who are created beings need space because there are concepts of time and space in this universe, but it is not logical for the creator of time and space to be limited to time and space. Allah created the universe, Allah created time, Allah created space. Naturally, it isn't logical for him to need space. Allah is free from time, space, and matter. Being limited to a space shows dependence. Why? Without a place, there is no place for us to be located, right? There must be a place so that we can continue our lives there. In other words, the existence of a place is actually about neediness and weakness. We need space. But since there are no concepts such as weakness or neediness for Allah, there's no place or time to which Allah is bound. There's no such thing as dependency or necessity for him. Allah is Subhan. He does not need anyone.
Why are camels and dates always mentioned in the Quran, but penguins or fruits like avocados not mentioned at all? Was the Quran sent down only to the Arabian Peninsula?
The Quran is a universal book. Since it is a universal book, it has to address all communities. If, as you said, penguins and avocados had been mentioned, could it have addressed the first society it was revealed to, according to you? Think about it. It mentions the penguin, but nobody in that society has seen a penguin, and nobody knows what it is. If it can't address the first society, how can it address other societies and then attain universality? So the main point here is this. In order to achieve universality, like a stone thrown into the water, as it moves from a small circle to the big circle, it has to convince the society in the first circle and reach them. Then, like those outer circles, it has to reach all communities, and it has to contain information that every reader can understand and comprehend. In addition, the Quran is not a zoology or a botany book to mention all the fruits and animals animals one by one. If that was the case, the questions would increase more and more. Someone says penguin. If the penguin was mentioned, next time the question, why doesn't it mention the chameleon, would be asked. So that should not be the main point. The Quran mentions the camel, and when something is inferred from that camel, that inference can be used for all animals. For example, the following is stated in a verse of the Quran. Do they not look at the camels, how they are created? After opening the window of reflection, one can use that thought for all animals. In other words, the Quran's mentioning of animals and plants is not for the sake of it, but for reflection. The Quran mentions the universe on behalf of Allah, that is, it mentions the art on behalf of the artist. We make an inference for the artist from it, the art. So we should develop a perspective based on meaning rather than matter. That way, in every substance, whether animal, plant, or anything else in the universe, we will be able to find Allah's signs.
If Allah has infinite power, why does He need angels?
Need is one thing, preference is another. Allah prefers to rule the universe with angels. Of course, there are many reasons for it. There's wisdom behind it. What, for example? Allah created angels in accordance with His majesty, dignity, and position. We can understand this with an example. If a commander summoned a soldier to his office and if the soldier said, "Why does he need me? Can't he come by himself?" Would that be logical? It wouldn't be logical. Why not? It's not a question of power or a question of being able to come or not to come. He has to go to that office in accordance with his position as a subordinate. It is related to wisdom. If a palace were to be cleaned, would the Sultan clean the palace himself, or would he appoint an official to take care of it? For example, if a toilet needed to be cleaned, an official would be assigned. Why? Because authority, majesty, and dignity necessitate that. Similarly, Allah prefers to rule the universe through the angels. It is a necessity of Allah's authority. What do we understand from that? When we realize that there are angels surrounding the whole universe, we understand how strong Allah's army is and how majestic His reign is. Otherwise, Allah does not need angels at all. We can think of some other wisdom about it as well. For example, He created the angel of death and appointed him as His official. Since people often regard death as something bad, there can be a rebellion against death. If Allah did not create the angel of death for this purpose and people saw Allah taking the souls directly, the reaction of the people at the time of death could be directly against Allah. Their rebellion could directly target Allah. Hence, Allah created the angel of death for that reason. Besides, He created other reasons such as a car accident, a heart attack, etc. So what happens when Allah uses those intermediaries? Those rebellions do not target Allah. People show their reactions to those intermediaries, like the car accident. So we can think of it as some other wisdom. Otherwise, Allah does not need anyone. It is a preference.
Well, a sultan needs a cleaner. He can't actually clean the whole palace, nor can he do all other work at the same time. He makes them work because he needs them. Does Allah need them too?
May Allah forbid, Allah does not need anyone. What was the main concept in the example we mentioned above? It was wisdom. It was a deed done according to a position. Otherwise, we did not make a comparison of power and strength. What did we say in the example of the Sultan? In accordance with His majesty, dignity, and position, we gave a small example. What does it necessitate? It necessitates the work of officials, on the face of it, but what is it really? Since Allah has infinite power, He does not need anyone in any way. When do you need someone? You need it when you are weak. Since the power of Allah is infinite, weakness is inapplicable, so there is no gradation. Then we say, controlling a particle, an atom, and controlling and directing the galaxies in the universe are the same for Allah. It is infinitely easy. Why? Because weakness is out of the question. There is only one creator. He is omnipotent. There is no weakness. So everything is infinitely easy for Him. Related to the issue of the angels doing their works in the example, both the angels and the reasons here are only veils. In fact, whatever happens in the universe is under the control of Allah. Did Allah ask me when He created me? There's a contradiction in this question. Why? Because if you say, "Did Allah ask me when He created me?" and you want to be asked, then shouldn't He create you? He should create you, so there is a contradiction here. You have to be created and thus exist in order to be asked. Besides, there's also an event we called Kalubala. What is it? When Allah created the spirits, He asked the realm of the spirits, "Am I not your Lord?" And what answer did we give in the realm of spirits? We answered, "Yes, you are our Lord." One may say, "Oh, I don't remember that," but it is logical and normal not to remember it. What would happen if everyone remembered it? Everyone would be a believer. In fact, you remember what happens. Due to the test, we forget it, and the test continues here. The event of Allah making the spirits witness, which we call Kalubala, is true. Besides, there are great benefits and wisdom in Allah's creation of the universe and man. For example, with the existence of such a place of testing, abilities are revealed. with the struggle, abilities become manifest. For example, when we consider the prophets, the emergence of the prophets also occurred with the creation of the universe. So just because a few people ask, "I wish he had not created, did he ask me when he created?" Such great wisdom, such great benefits couldn't be abandoned, because Allah is the absolute ruler. He does the best in everything he does. We also need to think about Allah's names of generosity, his liking to give and to be generous. We need to reflect on them. For example, if a person set a large dinner table and invited people, would it be logical if someone came and said, "You offer so many things, but did you ask me?" How logical would that be? That person is generous and wants to entertain people. "Did you ask me?" is actually a very rude phrase. Similarly, Allah laid the earth for his creation. He made the earth a dinner table. Who can say, "God forbid," to Allah, "Who set such a large table? Did you ask me?" is not a very good phrase. Allah is generous, and Allah, who is generous, wants to act generously. He will give us both in this world and the eternal life. Anyway, this question is usually asked by someone who is psychologically depressed. Doesn't everyone like to live? They do. When it's summer, don't people talk to their friends and say, "Let's go on a vacation"? They do. So everybody actually likes to live and to exist. But what happens? When a person gets depressed, he says, "Why am I here? Why do these things happen to me?" Then he says, "I wish I hadn't been created." After that, he thinks he'll go to hell. When he thinks he'll go to hell and there's no salvation for him, and when he thinks he won't be forgiven, he says he wished he hadn't been created. Did Allah ask him? God forbid. In fact, the devil suggests a delusion. However, what does Allah say? He says, "I forgive all sins, except for associating partners with Allah."
That's the end of our questions. See you in the next video.
We are open to any questions. Anyone can ask any question they want. We'll answer them from the Quran and Sunnah.
Hello, brothers and sisters, and thank you for watching the video. If you want to take a look at more of our videos like this, you can check the playlists we created specifically for you on the right, or you can check out our latest videos on the left. Don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel so that we can reach and benefit more people. See you.